guys. You've got intern Alyssa here, and this is the Daily Podcast. We are talking about Michael Rapaport. We've got the top what is Google searches, John's courthouse plea, the big Christmas party invitation, Marrakesh Express for song stories today, and a Lithuanian Christmas tree. Michael Rapaport is in the studio today with us, and enjoy the Daily Podcast.
Obviously, not a lot of love between Dave and Michael Rapaport.
I'm just saying he's not a household name.
I would agree with that.
Yeah, I would say he's not a
unless
household
you watched
name.
Friends.
That was my point.
Yeah, if you watch Friends, you knew that.
Well, these two girls over here acted like Bradley Cooper's coming into
the
building today.
I know I'm more than willing to ask him this because something tells me he is not the male idol that one would expect.
That was my point.
Yeah.
No.
He wasn't on the cover of Tiger Beat in the 90s.
Just like, I remember from Copland. You ever see that movie Copland?
With Sly?
No. With Sly? Yeah. He's that cop that's hiding through the whole damn movie. All right? You know, so,
He's got a good career, I'm just saying.
Oh, he's got a lot of stuff. He's got
Settle down.
He's got this great documentary he directed about the New York Knicks. And, the man is multi-talented. He's done tons of stuff, and he does stand-up comedy.
The John DeBella Podcast.
I suppose you know what it is about you that fascinates him.
Philadelphia's classic rock.
It's the hair on your chest.
102.9.
Ooh, wow, I didn't expect that at all. I really didn't expect that.
MGK.
There is a story this morning about Google's most searched what is questions, and I think this is going to shock you. I mean, when you listen to this, I mean, it really is sort of like, really? Right?
Is this for the year?
This
is I love the end of the year. You get all these year-end roundups.
This is for the end of the year. First one on the list, what is Area 51?
I know why they asked that.
That makes sense, right? All right. Yeah, probably because everybody's trying to storm Area 51.
Let's see them aliens.
All right, right. What is a VSCO girl? Do you know what a VSCO girl is?
Oh, yeah. Well, VSCO
we talked about this in the studio because I didn't know what it is.
It's sort of like a new Instagram of sorts, right?
Okay. All right. Well, it's a photo editing app.
Okay.
And then people, you know, make themselves look better and then put it up and go, oh, she's a VSCO girl.
Taylor was just teaching some of the ladies in the sales department how to do this the other day.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Wow,
of course, Taylor knows.
Always scheming.
All right. Well, what is a Momo? You know what a Momo is?
Isn't Momo that creepy?
That creepy girl who would pop up in the middle
eyes?
Of...
No. It was a fake internet challenge where kids supposedly did violent stuff.
Well, yeah, because of this
character. Because of Momo.
Yeah. Okay. This one is the big of the day. What is a boomer? And probably because of all the okay boomer stuff.
Right.
I would be because boomers were trying to figure out what boomer was in okay boomer. And then this one gets me the most. What is quid pro quo?
Oh, jeez.
I saw a guy on a TV newscast going off on the whole quid pro quo. What the hell is quid pro quo? I don't even know what language that is. And the host went, Latin.
So I'm watching Aladdin with my kid the other day, and one of the scenes, and I love Aladdin, and I never picked up on it as a kid, even up until 2 days ago, the genie's telling Aladdin things he can't do. He goes, a couple quid pro quos, and I was like, I know what that means! I'm an adult!
What is Disney Plus?
Duh.
All right. Followed by, what is a Mandalorian?
All right. I still don't know and don't care.
Right. Well, until you watch it, you don't know what a Mandalorian is. They didn't exist until the series started. And this is wild. This was a big question that came out of England. What is Brexit? And you wonder why you have problems.
The John DeBella Podcast.
This is nuts.
102.9. MGK.
I put this plea out the other day because there were a couple of women who were in here for First Friday last month or the month before, and they both worked for the Montgomery County Courthouse. And one of the women, her husband, was a police detective that I have some history with. The history is good, folks, but I have some history with.
You won the fight.
Right. and I wanted to ask them a question, but we don't have their names anymore. Right. We don't. So if either of you ladies are listening, I would love to talk to you. Call us here in the studio. 215-263-WMGK or send me an email to DiBella@WMGK.com as to where I could contact you.
The John DiBella Podcast.
Oh, well, you ain't pregnant with a bucket of chicken?
102.9.
Kiss my bare ass right now in front of all these good people.
Nobody can understand what you're normally saying.
MGK.
We didn't have a First Friday this month because in December we have the John DiBella Show Pajama Christmas Party or Christmas Pajama Party, right? And in order to be at the Christmas Pajama Party, you've got to show up in your Christmas pajamas. Not your ugly sweater, not just like a top. No, you got to be in full-blown pajamas. And when you're here, you get to take part in the best First Friday that we ever have.
It's a blast. No,
I mean, there are gifts galore.
So many gifts. I got our beer yesterday.
Yeah. You got beer yesterday?
Yes,
okay.
Indeed.
Okay. All right. Well, yep. We got that coming. We've got tickets to things. We got all kinds of gifts. Right, and I think by that time we'll have the new classic car calendar, so they'll be the first people to get that.
Cool.
Right, a Dog and Bull is going to be doing the food.
Yep.
Right, and what did you say they were serving up? Do you remember
biscuits and chorizo gravy?
Right.
They've got fruit, hummus, and cheese trays. They've got a sausage, egg, and cheese on a pretzel. Their pretzel sandwiches
Come
and a
me.
Mini quiche Lorraine.
Okay. Beautiful. All right. So there's just some of the stuff that's going on. Well, you're sitting here laughing.
She's
going
to be here, too.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Cindy's one appearance in the studio during the course of the year. And we've got your, what's your piano player's name?
Bob Kramer.
All right. Bob Kramer. Back, yes. Bob Kramer is going to be in here.
And a brand spanking new studio.
Spanking new studio that is soon to be decorated all for the holidays.
Yeah.
Although we will have to move the Christmas tree out because there's
good
just
point.
Not enough room. All right,
the John DiBella Podcast. 102.9 MGK. You know the bands, you know the songs. This is the history behind them. Classic Rock 102.9 MGK presents Song Stories.
Song Stories being brought to us by Piazza Auto Group. Shop 14 different brands at 22 locations or online at piazzaautogroup.com. Graham Nash didn't record Marrakesh Express until 3 years after he wrote it. That's mainly because the guys in the Hollies didn't want anything to do with it. They didn't feel the song was commercial enough to release as a single, and then why bother recording it? That's how it ended. All right? And then, of course, he brought that single to Crosby, Stills, and Nash after he left the Hollies. And, well, here he recalls how it all went down.
Written on a journey from Casablanca down to Marrakesh in the mid-60s. Was one of the first vacations that I'd taken. I'd been rocking and rolling pretty heavily from 1960 to 1966. Decided to take a vacation. Went to north coast of Africa. Took a train from Casablanca. Wrote of that experience, and that's what Marrakesh Express was.
The John DiBella Podcast.
You were going to put that somewhere. You're sick.
102.9.
Probably means the end of a great career.
Yeah, I would say so.
MGK.
You're fired.
Christmas is celebrated differently all over the world.
Right.
You know, in some places, you know, here it's Santa Claus. Some countries it's Father Christmas or St. Nicholas or something like that. And, you know, and then when it comes to decorations, some countries do it very simply. Some people just go ridiculous and buy every blow-up thing they could possibly put on their lawn. Again, what does Star Trek have to do with Christmas is beyond me. But in Lithuania, Cindy, you might want to go to the JDB Show Facebook page.
Okay.
All right, because in Lithuania, the main airport in Lithuania, I can't pronounce it, right, has erected a Christmas tree made completely out of confiscated items that they took at security.
This is delightful. I love this.
Well, the thing that cracks me up is, what is it with Lithuanians and scissors?
They love their
there
scissors.
Are more sets of scissors. The majority of the tree is scissors.
And it looks like it's the same brand of scissors.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
But what else is on there? Is that a knife?
You look,
a
that gun? Giant red and tan thing, and the red and gray thing down at the bottom?
Uh-huh.
That's a knife. There's a couple of them. Right? There's a gun.
It's a collapsible saw knife, it looks like.
Yes.
I'd expect this out of Russia. I don't know about Lithuania.
I mean, it's amazing. We just put it up on the Facebook page, and I don't know, maybe it's an idea for the folks at, you know, PHL.
The John DiBella Podcast.
I love scotch. Scotchy, scotch, scotch. Here it goes down.
102.9.
Down into my belly.
MGK.
tonight for one show, two tomorrow at 7:30 and 10, and one on Saturday at 10 o'clock. This gentleman will be at Helium Comedy Club. You can always get tickets through heliumcomedy.com or 215-496-9001. Joining us now, ladies and gentlemen, actor, comedian, Michael Rappaport. Hiya, Michael.
Thanks for having me. Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you. We always love a New Yorker who is a Philadelphia fan.
I love Philadelphia. I mean, I think we're one in the same. And, you know, I fell in love and intrigued with Philadelphia probably like a lot of people in the world in 1976 when I was six and my mother took me to go see Rocky.
Oh, wow.
And that's probably the first time I heard about Philadelphia, and I've always had an affection for it. And then I'm a big basketball fan, so the Julius Erving, World Be Free, and then the Moses Malone, Bobby Jones, Billy Cunningham, Sixers, yeah. And then all through. So I've always loved Philly, the people of Philly, and just every time I've been here, it's been great, and I'm excited to perform at the Helium Comedy Club this weekend.
Well, and the wild thing is here you go. As a child, you become a fan of Rocky, and then years later, you did Copland with him, and all of the crime guys, Harvey Keitel, Ray Liotta's in that also. Is Pesci in it?
Pesci's not in it, Ray Liotta, but yeah, they were all, and obviously Robert De Niro.
Yeah, oh, right.
And I got to ask every single one of my Rocky questions to Stallone. he couldn't have been nicer and more fun and more giving with to me because he knew how much I loved the film. And I would do lines with him, and he would do them back. I would do Mickey lines. He would do Rocky lines. I would do Rocky lines, and he would do Adrian lines. Like, he got a real kick out of it. And you know, it really, really meant a lot to me, and he understood that. So, like I said, I'm excited to be in Philly and perform here.
Now, how much did he have to bend his neck in order to look up at you? Because he is not the tallest man on the planet.
You know, he's not the tallest because we put him on such a pedestal from the Rocky films and the Rambo film, but he's not, like, you know, unusually short. He's smaller than you might think for Rocky.
Right.
For
right.
Rocky Balboa. But he's not like, you know.
Yeah, he's normal. He's 5'10".
Yeah, he's not Pesci.
Yeah.
Oh,
okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah. All right. Right. Yeah. So Joe's a little smaller, yeah, but you see smaller. That. And right, I think that's right. What makes him so lovable, Joe Pesci.
Speaking of Joe, have you seen The Irishman?
I have. I have. I like the film. I like the film. You know, I didn't love, love, love. I mean, these guys are like religious figures to me. Scorsese right, and these right, actors, right, like right. They're beyond family members to me. Like, they mean so much to me. I didn't love, love, love the CGI. I think they...
That's Dave, too.
Yeah, I'm with you there.
But the film and the acting and their performances was a lot of fun. It was right. A lot of fun. So I enjoyed it.
I accepted the CGI. I did not...
Did you?
Yeah. As a matter of fact, until Dave mentioned it, I hadn't even noticed that they younged them up. I just, you know, the suspension of disbelief, and I just went, okay, fine, and I just, you know, went along with it.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely. I had been so anticipating the film for so long, and I had been hearing about it, reading about it. I actually wanted to try to get a part of it. There was nothing really right but I was very aware of the film, so I was aware of the CGI. So, and like I said, those guys mean so much to everybody, to movie fans, Al, Joe, and Robert De Niro and Martin Scorsese, the expectations are so high, especially for the gangster milieu, that's a fancy word, that it, you know, like, he's been, the perfection has been so high. So it's, I dug the film. I could never, even if I had any problems, like, literally, those guys mean so much to me, again, that it'd be hard for me to criticize them in any way.
Until this movie came along, I never heard the phrase house painter.
Yeah,
that's the first time I ever heard that phrase.
Well, maybe that. Maybe you're saying maybe you paint houses. Maybe that's like because of the code. You got one of those rings?
yeah, I've got a ring that's as large as that. So now, of course, there's all of the TV stuff you did. You were on Friends, and we have your little Friends thing. You know, company over here. You know, Friends fans.
All right?
And you were only on four episodes, but people talk about it like you were on this like for a year.
Yeah. You know, that show is kind of like the modern-day Brady Bunch.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's like for me, growing up as a kid, I watched the Brady Bunch. You watched them over and over and over. And because that show's on television, because it streams new fans and people, like, just because I did four episodes, it's pretty much every day somebody will mention to me Friends. And I'm happy that I did it. And, you know, but it was just a It was like a month of work, you know, like a few weeks, and they were cool, and you know, that show kind of, you know, will live on forever, and I think it's cool. It's a fun show.
Speaking of cool in that show, how cold are those studios? Was Jennifer Aniston always looked like she was really cold?
That's part of her charm, though, right? Part of, you know, just kind of like, I'm just going to cozy up to you. But they were, I don't remember them being cold. I remember them being very rich. I think it was the fourth or fifth season that I did that show, and they were making like
100 grand an episode.
No,
that was big then.
Beyond that.
Really?
By the time I got there, they were beyond that. I mean, when the last season, they made like $1 million an episode. And they deserve it. I mean, the show was very profitable. And if they were paying them that, there's other people that are making even more. So they deserved it. And like I said, you know, it continues to live on, that show.
Now, you have more of a comedy background than just, I'm not sure if I'm correct on this, but more of a comedy background than just doing comedy. Don't you have some sort of relationship to the improv?
I used to go visit my sister, whose stepfather, my half sister. I hung out the improv when I was a kid.
Okay.
This is when I thought I was going to be an NBA player.
All right.
But I would be around, you know, the improv when I was a kid. I'd go visit my sister in Los Angeles because my father was so tired of me getting in trouble. So he'd send me there for the summer. So I would watch comedians. But like I said, I at that point, I thought I was going to be an NBA. I had literal hoop
right.
dreams,
uh-huh.
and they, you know, turned out to be hoop nightmares. But it definitely put a thought in the back of my head that someday I would like to do that.
So that's
what I started doing.
You grew up in Manhattan,
New York City.
Did you play on 4th Street?
I played on 4th Street. I played in Brooklyn. Played in Harlem. I played all over the city. You know, I really basketball was everything to me.
Yeah. There on 4th Street in Manhattan, there's a city basketball, a city park.
I know. I used to live on 3rd and B.
Right. And it was known as the Cage.
Yep.
Right. Mm-hmm. And you would go there and see some serious basketball. Right. Serious street basketball.
It's an iconic place, and it's right there in Lower Manhattan.
You're still, I guess, hooked up with basketball in some way, because you started doing some Big Three, Ice Cube's Big Three.
Sideline reporting, yeah.
I have to ask you about the video that surfaced with your interview with Catino Mobley.
Totally. You know, it's so funny because Catino's my guy, you know, and we did this. You know, we played around where he was getting irritated with me, but people took it so. I mean, Catino should be an actor.
It was as if you put your hand
from Philly,
on his
right?
Yeah, he's an Alney section. You put your hand on his shoulder, and he looked at you like, "Don't effing touch me."
No, he's like, "I don't want to answer any questions." And it went viral, and people were like, "You know, you should have beat him up, Catino." Or they were saying to me, "You know, why was he like that?" And it was just play.
Are you a GIF now? Are you like a meme, a GIF?
That was like you needed the sound because it was it was like a good scene. But okay. Catino's got a career. He could be a heavy.
Yeah.
He was very good. And yeah, he's a Philly dude too. But I love doing the Big Three. One of the biggest moments for me of that was when it was in Philadelphia and I got to interview Allen Iverson and Doc.
Mm-hmm.
In Philly,
oh,
I was
so cool.
Literally having an outer
that's
body
awesome.
Experience. Like I was tripping out doing that because to be in Philly with those guys. Like I said, I love basketball so much. Like I was like, this is crazy for me. Like, I was tripping out.
Didn't you do? Is it new, or did I just find out about it? Don't you have a documentary on the Knicks?
Yes, I did a 30 for 30 in ESPN 30 for 30, which was cool. On the 70-73 Knicks was when the last time we were actually champions. All right. And which I don't want to bring the interview down and turn into a negative thing, but So
and I don't know. Now, did either of you ever see the fan with Patton Oswalt? He's in the movie. With
yes,
Patton Oswalt?
Yes, I did see. Yep.
He's the Phillies fan. He's the Eagles fan.
Yes.
Oh, my God. Philadelphia Phil, right?
Philadelphia Phil.
Gotcha.
Philadelphia Phil.
And that was fun. It was tough because as much as I love Philly, I have to say as far as the Eagles and the Giants, again, I want to keep things positive. You know how we are on that. I have nothing but respect and love for the Philadelphia fans. You guys are crazy, if not crazier than New York fans. And I love that. Going back to, you know, with the Santa Claus incident, which, again, I don't want to bring any negativity. It's the holiday season. But I was here when you guys booed Kobe at the All-Star game. I've seen it. So I respect what's good out here. So hopefully when the fans come see me at Helium, they won't throw any snowballs at me.
Well, Michael will be at Helium Comedy Club tonight for one show at 8 o'clock, two tomorrow at 7:30 and 10, one on Saturday at 10 o'clock. Tickets available through heliumcomedy.com or 215-496-9001. Thank you so much for getting up, for coming in.
I appreciate you guys having me.
And we got to get a picture because everybody wants this.
Let's do it.
The John DeBella Podcast.
This, wow.
John DeBella.
Wow, you're so dominant.
Philadelphia's classic rock, 102.9.
Wow.
MGK.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.